Blog Talk Radio.
Happy birthday. Yeah. We want to dedicate this song to everyone who has a birthday today. And that means you, and you, and you, and you. Because having a birthday is a special occasion. And we hope you have a happy celebration and a many, many more to come.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Welcome to Season 3's opening of A Book Is Born Live on Charles Family Channel. I am Beverly Black, and it is an honor, privilege, and a pleasure. And like that song says, happy birthday. This is all about books being born, the literary scene. And that beautiful song is by The Shy Lights, who just received their Hollywood Walk of Fame star September 30th, 2021. And we know why them brothers can blow. We have one last man standing, and he is Marshall Thompson. And we will be resuming, coming back for our seventh season on Tribe Family Channel's Soul School Music in November. So I hope you will tune in. But right here on A Book Is Born, our nationwide lineup of seasoned authors, along with our generous sponsors, have teamed up to bring right content and relatable dialogue for your listening pleasure and for your reading enlightenment. Grab a good seat and prepare to feast as we dish out this serving of gumbo. You won't leave hungry. Our next guest on A Book Is Born is author Danny Smith Mathis, Danny Smith Mathis, to discuss her literary journey and give us the 411 on where to grab a copy of her page turners. So you definitely want to grab a seat. Call in 515-605-9351 or follow our studio at blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. A Book Is Born on Tribe Family Channel is a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand, and we currently have an open call for submissions, so please visit www.gumboforthesoulinternational.com. Now, as your host, I am also the publisher of the Gumbo for the Soul Publications Anthology Series. We have Gumbo for the Soul, the recipe for literacy in the Black community. Here is Our Child Wears the Village, Women of Honor, Men of Honor, Breast Cancer and Prostate Cancer Awareness, respectively. And we have the second series in the Honors Anthologies Open, as well as Suicide Is Not the Answer, Called to Serve. So please be sure to visit Gumbo for the Soul Publications. And now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, you do not want to miss this interview. Please help me welcome author Danny Smith Mathis. Welcome, Queen. How are you this evening?
Hey, Beverly. Hello, listeners. How are you?
Oh, I am blessed. I'm blessed. And, you know, I pray the same. How are you?
I'm doing well, recovering from a little laryngitis, but I'll make it. I'm right here, ready to go.
Hey, hey. Well, I had to grab a little teaspoon of honey myself to make sure that my throat was smooth and ready, because guess what? I said, this lady here is a real good interview. I was so blessed to have you as a guest on The Woman at the Well. And we want to remind everyone that you are an advocate for domestic violence awareness. You're also an educator, homeschooler. You can tell everyone about yourself during the course of the questions that I have lined up for you, so that we can learn all about you, your writing journey, what you do, and how you do it. So let's just start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and what motivated you to become an author.
Well, I didn't have a choice in that. God gifted me with the ability to write. And so I believe that everything that God gives us is a matter of stewardship. and we just have to figure out what are we going to do with it or not. I began consciously writing. It's funny, I was on a live talk earlier today that I host on the Wisdom app, and I was sharing about my mother as my mentor. And my mother taught me actually how to handwrite, penmanship, they used to call it. And I just remember gaining the knowledge and the feeling of the rhythm of writing. And it was the rhythm of writing that catapulted me into poetry when I was at the age of 9. And I was reading Black poets. I was reading Nikki Giovanni. I was reading Sonia Sanchez. I was reading Don L. Lee. I was reading Leroy Jones, who's now Mary Baraka. And so I was reading these people, Barbara Chase Rabaud. I was reading these people at a very, very early age, shortly after the riots in Newark, New Jersey, which is my hometown. And so I was reading that. My dad was a college president of the community college there in Newark. And I remember he would bring home yearbooks from the college, and they would have all these great poems in there by these Black writers right there in Newark, New Jersey, some known, some not known. And I just got into the rhythm of writing when I was age 9, just through reading poetry and learning just how to write physically.
Wow. Amazing, phenomenal. And you mentioned some of my favorite poets as well. Nikki Giovanni was on our show to open up Spoken Poets Intellectualizing. And she's we've been associated for since 2007. So phenomenal, very gracious, rest in peace, Mary Baraka, and also love Maya Angelou. And I just want to commend the fact that at an early age, you know, you did gravitate and pick up that gift, knowing it's first and foremost from God, from whence all our blessings flow, but those gifts that are planted down inside of us that gives us that excitement and that passion. And then to hear that your father fed that passion through bringing literature and books, you know, to immerse you with at an early age. My mother kept a lot of literature in our home, and you know, we gravitated to reading and poetry and listening to commercials and songs and jingles and, you know, the things that would entertain us as children,
yeah.
Picture books, comics, just the written word, the freedom of expression and creativity. So how do you come up with ideas for your book?
Well, it really, thankfully, I've been the co-author of 4 books in the last 3 years, 3 in the last 2 years, and 2 in the last 2 months. So
wow.
they are really not my ideas, but they are my experiences, which I've contributed to the ideas of those who have the ideas for the book. So, for instance, I am a domestic violence survivor, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, and it is one of my passions and my purposes to bring domestic violence awareness to the world. And I did that through writing as a co-author in the book Survivors Celebrating Life Beyond Domestic Violence. It's available on Amazon.com. And so I wrote my story, the Danny Mathis story is in that book. Then, shortly after that, I co-authored 2 books, one called Shut 'Em Down, Black Women, Racism in Corporate America, which was the number one release on Amazon. And then almost like, but not intending to be, but it actually has turned out to be a companion, which is about to roll out next month, called Everyday Struggle, How Toxic Workplaces Impact Black Women. And those 2 books are really about my struggle for the very first time after a 30-year career in corporate America with systemic racism.
Fascinating. And lately I've been seeing on social media, your involvement with another book and some, looks like some Zoom calls and meetings and what have you. To the, what is the name of that one again? I meant to have it up here.
So, are you talking about the Her War II book or are you talking about Shut Them Down? Because I'll tell you what.
Shut Them Down. Shut Them Down.
Yeah, So Shut Them Down, Black Women Racism in Corporate America. I started a room on the Clubhouse app called named after that book. And what that has turned into now is a platform to host the plaintiffs in the first class action suit ever of its kind, taken out by 10 black women against the Metropolitan Police Department in the District of Columbia. This is an epic class action lawsuit. And just last night, last week, we heard from four of the plaintiffs. It's called, the case is named Brinkley versus District of Columbia. And Brinkley, Synovia Brinkley was there, and three other of the plaintiffs were there last week. And then yesterday, last night, we had four more plaintiffs. And then hopefully next week we're going to hear from the last two plaintiffs in that case. It's an epic lawsuit that's going to change the entire. We believe it's going to be won, and it's going to change the whole framework and basis of police departments across America with regard to racism and sexual harassment against black women.
Wow, phenomenal. Much success and continue with Truth to Power on that. And you said that that platform was created based off of the book Shut 'Em Down?
Yes, so I took the name of the book, Shut 'Em Down, Black Women, Racism in Corporate America, and I opened up a room on the Clubhouse app. And
Tell us a little bit about the book.
The book
is... That's what
is,
I was getting at.
Yeah, so the book is 20 of us got together, and it was the brainchild of Dr. Carrie Yazeed, who is a certified in diversity, equity, and inclusion in the workplace. And she basically has had a publishing company. Then she brought 20 of us together, and we all told our stories. This book is basically the battle cry of black women who basically we suffered abuse and trauma at the hands of corporate America. And so my chapter is called Get the Language Right. And if you don't mind, I'll read a little excerpt for you just so you can get a feel for it.
Please do. I would be honored.
Yeah, so the name of my chapter is called Get the Language Right. And it's taken from that particular name is taken from a less known speech by the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And he's talking to a group of people about the difference between the dictionary difference between black and white. And in that speech, he says, you know, you've been told this about the color black. It's been degrading and demeaning. And yet you've been told this about the color white. It's always high, mighty, and pure. And he says, but I want to get the language right tonight. So I wanted to get the language right because what I found is this. Let me just give you the how my chapter opens up. It says, during her acceptance speech for the vice presidential nomination at the Democratic National Convention, Senator Kamala Harris said, the litmus test for America is how we treat black women. And this is every person's test, in my estimation. And I was literally dealing with my chapter was dealing with how a particular company failed that litmus test after me being an employee with them, a valued employee, a decorated employee in the sense that I was one of their top employees, getting one of the top employee award after being there only 1 year, and I stayed another 5 years, and how after a merger and an acquisition. To white women just completely trashed me or tried to anyway change the narrative. And I just wrote about me getting the language right. Because what happens in corporate America is they want to always paint black women as angry and volatile employees. And that's just their effort to erase the threat that they feel because of our intelligence and because of our emotional resilience that we deploy against designed and intense daily scrutiny of our work. And so that is a systemic design within corporate America. It is no different. Corporate America is a microcosm of America. And so I wanted to get the language right.
Yeah. You know, Queen, I salute you, and I'm excited just hearing you talk about it. Forgive me for cutting you off, but I have to salute you for this work and the focus that you're putting on this, because the greatest threat, and we're going to be real, this is Tribe Family Channel, Gumbo for the Soul, and I am the CEO. That means what? We speak our mind in my house. Now, we're going to speak our minds. The greatest threat to the white man is the black woman. You do not need to adjust your radios, ladies and gentlemen. I said the greatest threat to the white man is the black woman. See, he's already ostracized the black man, and the black woman has pulled the family through the generation. And we continue to reign strong, and we continue to walk in our power, our God-given gifts, and with unapologetic authority. That's the way I see it. Now, if you're just tuning in, you are live on Tribe Family Channel. I am Beverly Black. I am the creator, owner, and operator of Gumbo for the Soul International. We are saluting not only our own kingdom with my guest here, Danny Smith Mathis, and the profound shift that has taken place just by what she just introduced with shut them down. See, it's a whole different energy because it is a subject that resonates into the core of who we are as women, just opposed to A Book Is Born, Tribe Family Channel, Gumbo for the Soul, or anything else we can do. We're a black, strong woman first, and we have to rebuff against so much in order to simply be who we are. Now, I'm going to ask you another question, but I just want to interject because you see, this subject fires me up because what I want to interject is a quote. I'm a quotologist. I engineer words into quotes. And one of my quotes, I wrote this a few years back, excuse me, but this quote says, they hunt you because they hate you. They hate you because they ain't you. See, the greatness and the power and the beauty that comes from our hue and all the intellectual prowess that we brought to America. See, they didn't bring uneducated people to build this great nation. That's why we have to keep fighting for it. Man. The threat. That is the threat. And we're going to address a lot more of that. If you tune in, Danny Smith Mathis, ladies and gentlemen, is our core sponsor for our program starting back in November, The Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community. She is an educator, a homeschooler, and a phenomenal author in that realm. And we need to continue to infuse the power and the knowledge because there is a shift that has taken place and nothing is going back to the way it was. We're going to have to find a new normal, and especially when it comes to educating our own children and ensuring that knowledge doesn't get lost and that they aren't slipping through the cracks and left to fail. So thank you so much for bringing up Shut 'Em Down and all that encompasses that challenge. And I continue to pray and wish you much, much continued success with the platform you created. Now, as far as you, back to you as a writer, What were some of the challenges you faced as a writer? Are there things you would do differently?
No, absolutely not. Because had I done them differently, I wouldn't be able to share what I'm going to share with you right now. One of the challenges that I faced as a writer was I grew up in an eclectic community. My family was like the UN, and I don't mean I had brothers and sisters that were outside of the African American race, but my father was an individual, and my mother was the individual who poured wholly into people just to develop them as people. It didn't matter what color they were. So we had all kinds of people coming in and out of our homes because they were educators. Mm-hmm. They were staunch educators. They weren't just teachers. Mm-hmm. They were educators. And so one of the things, as I had mentioned earlier, is when I embraced it at the age of 9, the writings of poets, of the black poets that came out of the consciousness raising after the riots in many, many different cities across America. And I was a product of that because I was in Newark, New Jersey when those riots happened. I was 9 years old when those riots happened. And that's my hometown. And so I went, but when I fast forward, when I went to college, I went with that energy as a black conscious writer, woman, poet. And when I got there, I had nothing but white male professors. I went to Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh as a creative writing major, and I started losing my voice because I was trying to pass classes and get A's on papers and get A's on things I wrote. And white men did not understand my voice. So thankfully, the University of Pittsburgh was right down the street from Carnegie Mellon University, and it had the Kuntu Repertory Theater, which was founded by my late soror, Dr. Vernell Lilly, and the late Rob Penny. And Rob was friends with the late Pulitzer Prize winner, August Wilson. And August became my mentor. And August was the one that helped me to change my attitude about being discouraged, about struggling with keeping my voice. He helped me to keep my voice as a black woman writer in a sea of white male professors. And so not only did I keep my voice, I enhanced my voice, as did Ruby Dee pour into me as a poet, as a poetess. And so I was it was just a blessing and an honor to have them as the mentors they are. You know, the souls of them live inside of me. They are really the mentors that I had in writing in terms of my black voice. And so I was able to keep that. And once I was able to get over that hurdle, I never lost it.
Wow. You know, that is probably the part of me that most identifies with Ms. Ruby Dee. And, well, so when you bring her up, I have to let you know that that woman was my heart. And I used to call her home. I used to call her home and check on her. And her daughter, Nora, gave me permission to have her in our book, Women of Honor, that we will be publishing next year. But it was always something about her. And when she and I exchanged letters, I still have her letter. And I'm contemplating whether I'm going to publish it in the book or not, because it's special, and then it gets memorialized. So, you know, on one hand, it's so special that I don't want to publish it in the book. It's between she and I. But then on the other hand, it's like I want to honor her. I loved her. I wrote to her about her husband in a poem that her family received and read at his home going. So you brought up a special place in my heart when you bring up Ms. Ruby Dee Davis, and rest in peace to she and her husband, Mr. Ozzie Davis, legends.
Yeah.
And definitely, you know, a couple that opened doors for our people. So, of course, not only role models, but activists in their own right when it came to fighting the challenges. And, you know, Ruby Dee, she spoke her mind. She did not play. And I think it was that firebrand in her that attracted me to
with
her because I you know, it's always the smallest ones, right?
Right.
Now, we're gonna take a quick commercial break, but ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, I'm enjoying my guest. Danny Smith Math is here on A Book Is Born. I'm Beverly Black. I'm the creator and host right here live on Tribe Family Channel's A Book Is Born, a Gumbo for the Soul International family brand. And we'll be right back after a word from one of our sponsors.
I know building a website can be intimidating, but you need a place where your audience can connect with you. Instead of fighting with technology, try the easiest, most flexible website builder available. With templates for all types of websites, ranging from landing pages to e-commerce, Urban Book Editor's platform makes creating an author website quick and easy. Just add a section, upload your photos and videos, type your text, and you're in business. It couldn't be easier. And if you sign up for an annual plan, you can get 10% off the first year. Just use discount code FIRSTYEAR. That's 1-STYEAR. The number 1-STYEAR in all caps. Take advantage of the 14-day free trial. No credit card is needed. Visit urbanbookeditor.com and select Create Your Author Website from the menu bar at the top of the page. No more struggling with technology. No more paying a small fortune to developers. Create beautiful websites without learning to code. Spend more time writing and less time worrying about your website. Just go to urbanbookeditor.com and select Create Your Author Website. You'll see how easy it is to build a great website to showcase your work. Go to urbanbookeditor.com and select Create Your Author Website today.
And welcome back live to A Book Is Born. I'm Beverly Black on Tribe Family Channel. My guest, Danny Smith Mathis, telling us all about her writing journey. And I'd like to ask you, how important do you think it is to engage your readers? How important is that? I mean, a lot. Some people write to, you know, use it as a form of therapy, and that helps them. But how important is it to engage your readers so that it's a two-way street?
So I'm never writing to engage my reader. I'm not. That's not my intent. My intent to writing is to get action. And what I mean by that is this. I don't write for publication. I don't write for sales. I write to get action. What that is you determine what that is after you read my stuff. And so I want to make sure that no matter what I write, it is coming from my heart and my soul. I'm not worried about engaging my readers because I promise you, after I write, you're going to want to read what I write. And you just have to get a little taste of it. And in fact, let me give you another little taste of it from Shut 'Em Down.
Well, wait, before you give us another taste of that, because I just want to comment about what you said. You write for action. Now, I've never heard that, but I'll tell you what. What I get out of what you said is that you are writing to spark a person's brain so that they think, and whatever it is that they determine out of what you've written in terms of how it applies to them and what action they need to take is what you're
right.
going for? Is that close?
That's exactly right. It's just like when I reared my three children and I was homeschooling them. I was training them how to do school. I was training them how to think, but I wasn't teaching them what to think.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a process for thinking things through, right? That's the basis of good decision-making. That's what we want all of our kids
mm-hmm.
to do. At the end of the day, we just want them to make good decisions, whether they're with us or not, right? And so that is
mm-hmm.
why I write. I write to get action. You make the decision about what my writing means to you. But I'm not writing necessarily for people. I'm writing usually for me. So it's two-edged. Yes, it's cathartic for me. My definition for the process of writing is the process of staying sane in an insane situation. That's what writing has always meant to me. And I'll repeat.
See, it's working my brain, and you know, you hit it. I mean, I really feel the profundity and the impact of your words. So I can only imagine if I'm reading, you know, reading the entire text. But go ahead
yeah.
and please give us the excerpt that you were offering.
Yeah, so here's another book that's coming out next month. It's called Shut Them Down. I'm sorry. It's almost a companion book called Everyday Struggle. And it's how toxic workplaces impact Black women. So here's the thing. You know, inclusiveness has been a term used frequently, but it often does not extend to Black women. And here's what I mean by that. You know, everybody wants us because we're smart, we're intelligent, we're resilient, we're strong. Everybody wants that. They want us at the table, but they don't want us talking at the table. They want us to show up to the table so they can say, we got you at the table. Look at what our table looks like, right? Our setting is complete because we have a Black woman. But they really don't want you eating off their plate. They really don't want you picking up your fork properly and all of that, because that's intimidating to them. And so here's what I wrote in my chapter of Everyday Struggle. My chapter is called The Silence of the Soil. And I have a snippets about all the isms, ageism and microaggression and racism and sexism and harassment and gaslighting. I deal with tone policing. And in my racism portion, I say this. The truth is racism not only exists, but also permeates the soil of the souls of the majority to varying degrees at the expense of the minority to a large degree. It germinates in the hearts of too many whose construct is designed by architects of hate. They loathe what they do not know or understand and purpose not to. For Black women, racism is the thing that defines them as angry, the thing that desires to quiet their confident demeanor, to silence their commanding respectfulness, to eliminate their continued tenacity despite the false narratives that echo in their minds. And that's what they do. You see, in corporate America, individuals make a living coaching the whole strategy, and when you at every in order to improve anything, whether it be a conversation or a relationship, personal or professional, truth is paramount to the foundation of that relationship. And it's paramount to the foundation of everything that drives it for the ultimate well-being of the whole entity, of the whole, whether it's a family, whether it's a unit in a corporation, whether it's in the military, you know. But the truth of the matter is that there's a legitimate time to be defensive, right? And individuals make a living coaching that strategy of defense, right? We have a Department of Defense. So why is it that you always call
a
Black woman defensive? Why is it that Black women are always defensive when you have an entire country that you have people that run your Department of Defense? Okay, so defensiveness is a thing. It's a real thing. So individuals make a living coaching these kinds of strategies of defense. But this isn't understood in corporate America when it relates to the Black woman. So to deploy a defensive strategy or response at any given time means there's a perceived need to protect against aggression. And this aggression is really passively applied to corporate America and antithetical to the Black woman, because we're the ones who have fought clearly and defined and exposed these types of enemies for centuries. And so this whole microaggression, the fact is that when you're a threat to a colleague because of their lack of self-esteem, or better yet, because you're just simply better at something than they are, you, as the Black woman, become the target of their, what I call PTA. That does not stand for the Parent Teacher Association. It stands for professionally transmitted anger. I think that is the real pandemic.
You are hitting the nail on the nose. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, Dani Smith Mathis is really sparking, thought-provoking insights, I want to say. And what I am getting out of that is what you are targeting is how Black women are marginalized. If we have any type of rebuttal, any type of pushback, any type of issue with anything that is taking place, there is going to be one, first of all, the ostracizing, the marginalizing, then there's going to be the characterization where we're deemed angry Black women, then we get the neck roll and the hip on the hand and all of these different images and imagery, if you will, that really is meant to not only trigger anger, it's actually meant to trigger anger. And when you see it taking place, you know, you can really do so much as to finesse the sex, ladies. You do not have to respond with anger. You can respond with intelligence. And you don't have to bite into anything that is being projected towards you. As long as someone is not threatening you, you don't even have to offer them a response. No response is a response. One of the things that the women in my family always said was choose your battles wisely, because people want a fight. People are angry by nature, and we're seeing the beast in that nature come out in the playing field today. There is so much anger, and people really don't even have an agenda for the anger. We're not going to talk politics, but I will say this. Like Malcolm X said, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. And we see a lot of people falling for anything, and I don't like seeing my people falling for anything. So I really appreciate your voice, Dani, and the books that are impending, the platform that you have, and we're going to have you on this platform, so there's no way you're going to get away. I'm not going to even worry about pre-ordering my copy of your impending publication, because we definitely, you know, when we get to next month on the Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community, where we are going to have a roundtable of homeschoolers, parent teachers, educators, you are a core sponsor. And of course, your book and the message that your book brings forth, because when you're an educator, that's corporate America too. We're dropping off our kids 5 days a week for educators to
take over from where we leave off. But there is a catch to that. You have to drop your children off prepared to learn. They're going to bring their problems to that classroom, and it's all going to spill out right there because you cannot hide your socialization. So when you have a class of a ratio of 1 to 21, come on now. That teacher has a lot to contend with. Parents, we have to ready our children, and I'm going to have Danny Smith Mathis and other educators come on board. We're going to go back to the genesis of Gumbo for the Soul, which was our first book, Gumbo for the Soul, The Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community. We had a literacy problem then. We have a literacy problem now. And so that is one of the areas that is a family issue that we will be addressing. Now, we're going to take another quick commercial break. We're going to come right back and tie up a few more questions before we close out the interview. And I just want to thank you once again, Danny, for taking the time out to be on the air with me this afternoon or evening. So here we go. We'll be right back after this commercial. It's my honor.
Hey guys, it's me, Michelle Berard, host of Somewhere in the Middle and founder and CEO of Urban Book Editor, LLC. Are you feeling like you're stuck and can't move forward? Have you been struggling to birth a big goal like a book or a business? Are you feeling overwhelmed and looking to make changes in your career? If you're at all like me, when that deer in headlights feeling hits you, you just don't know where to begin. Yeah, you can talk with friends or family, but when you're in need of an objective opinion, it helps to speak with someone who's prepared to listen and to provide practical guidance to help you move forward. That's where a coach comes in. That's why I'm so excited to share with you that energy worker and coach Julia Black and I have teamed up to help you get unstuck and start moving towards your goals again. And to make it easy for you, we're offering a complimentary call with one of us to help you start moving forward. All you have to do is go to WeRiseMovement.com to schedule your free insight and inspiration call with either Julia or me. The insight and inspiration call can help you get clear about your goals, uncover hidden challenges that may be hindering your progress, discover steps you can take today to move toward accomplishing your goals, and you'll leave the session feeling renewed, re-energized, and inspired to take action. Visit WeRiseMovement.com and schedule your free insight and inspiration call today. That's WeRiseMovement.com.
And welcome back to A Book is Born Live on Tribe Family Channel. I'm Beverly Black, and I'm the creator, the host, owner, and operator. And I am honored to have as a guest Danny Smith Mathis, author, homeschooler, educator. This woman has many hats. I could not even begin to read her bio or much less tell you all about her. But I want to ask you a couple of more questions. Do you write full-time? What in you to continue building out literature, and what upcoming events do you have? I know that's a lot at once, but we're pressed for time. Expound as much as you can with that.
Yeah, so the first event I have coming up is the book, The Everyday Struggle, is going to roll out next month. And so if you do want to read and purchase either one of the Everyday Struggle or Shut Them Down, you can do that at my website, www.danny.smithmathis, like in Judge Mathis, no relation, .com. And hit the two boxes, red boxes at the bottom of the first page, and go ahead and order your copies of that if you so like. And then the next event that I have coming up is with you this coming all through November as part of your education series. So I'm looking forward to that, being part of the radio event that's coming up with you Beverly, and the other educators. As a homeschool mom, I'm looking forward to that. Every week I'm on the Wisdom app, which you can find me there as a homeschool mentor. And on Thursdays, I'm over at Clubhouse on Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern time discussing Shut 'Em Down. And I have a room over there called Shut 'Em Down, Solutions for Black Women in the Workplace. I'm just writing right now. I have another book coming out that I'm co-authoring with military women, Black women in the military, called Her War Too, and I have a chapter in that book that's dedicated to my daughter, who spent 8 years in the U.S. Army as single mom, and I just wanted to honor her as her mom.
Oh,
and
wow!
She's in the U.S. Army Reserve. So that book, I think, is coming out in December.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I'm writing a play. I'm under the tutelage of film writer and producer and director Bobby Del Rio, out of Toronto, Canada, and I'm also doing a film documentary on the women of the 1968 Olympics.
Wow! Awesome! And I'm so glad that you ran all that down. Our listeners can go back and listen to these archives, as I will also. And you will be with Tribe Family Channel every Monday in November on the Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community. Parents, homeschoolers, educators, please plan to listen in. There will be roundtable discussions. That is November 1st, 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th. We're bringing it all month long. And then, of course, we know that winter break will be coming, but we just want to bring educators together, parents, homeschoolers, to really discuss what we can do to offer a healthy environment, whether your children are being taught at home or are going out there during these times where there is a pandemic running rampant and so many different political issues on the stage. These days you can't even go to a parent-teacher or a PTA meeting. So there's a lot of challenges, and we're hoping to bring voices to the table that can help us address those challenges. Now, I have one last question for you. The time goes by so fast, but that's what happens when you're having fun live on Tribe. One other question. This is just for, you know, people that may be interested in becoming a writer. What one piece of advice would you give an aspiring or first-time writer? What one piece of advice?
One piece of advice is always write your ideas down. Whatever comes to your mind, never believe that you're going to write that down later, because you will forget it. So I know this is an age of digital currency, digital marketing and assets, but it doesn't hurt to have a pen and a piece of paper in your car, in your home, in your bathroom, wherever you are. And also, if you're not using your notes section on your phone, always use that. I have so much in my notes section, just ideas, things that come to me, just words, anything that comes to you. Don't think of it like it's not finished, right? Don't ever think of something as not finished. To every new beginning, for every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. And so you have to always believe that you're not ending something, you're just beginning something new. And so theoretically, yes, you end, but really it's really the beginning of something next. So just always see your words and your voice as something that matters and something that's important, because you don't know how God is going to use your voice to help someone else.
Well, amen to that. Amen to that. Shout out your website once again, and where can our listeners find you on social media?
So I am Danny Smith Mathis, D-A-N-N-E, and my website is that. It's www.dannysmithmathis.com. And you can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter. You can find me on Pinterest. You can find me on Clubhouse and the New Wisdom app as Danny, D-A-N-N-E, Smith Mathis.
Thank you so much for being our guest on the season 3 opener of A Book is Born. And thank you for bringing right content. And I like what you had to say. You write to bring your readers to a point of action. I'm paraphrasing. But she's not writing for therapy or to engage the readers, but for what will bring the readers to a point where they can apply those words to a point of a call to action, what those words mean to you.
Right.
So I agree with what you had to say in terms of having a method of taking notes, and I'm going to suggest a pen and a pad, an actual calendar. I'm going to suggest that you order books from Amazon or from authors like Danny Smith Mathis or Beverly Black, a.k.a. Beverly Black Johnson Gumbel for the Soul Publications. I'm going to suggest that you actually crack open the spine of a paperback book and delve into it and really feel the essence of what literature is all about. And I want to encourage you, everyone, that you can't do everything in one day, but you can do something every day. No matter what the circumstances
Amen.
Are, you can do something every day. And so thank you once again on this day for tuning in to A Book is Born. Danny Smith Mathis, our special guest, kicking off season 3. I'm saying cooking. That's that gumbo for the soul, y'all. And speaking of cooking, be sure to contribute to our open calls for submissions at gumbofortheSoulInternational.com. We have Call to Serve, Suicide is Not the Answer, Men of Honor, Women of Honor, and the Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community, Edition 2, will be announced in November. So be sure to tune in. Danny Smith Mathis will be one of our educators in the roundtable discussions all month long, every Monday in November. So be sure to tune in. If you want to be a guest on any of our platforms, you can email us at tribefamilychannel@gmail.com. You can get in touch with me at Gumbel for the Soul on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn, Beverly Black on Facebook, TribeFamilyChannel.com, and we're all over social media. So be blessed, be a blessing, and be sure to tune in this Sunday where my guest on The Woman at the Well will be Dr. Maxine L. Bryant, coming out of Savannah, Georgia, criminal justice professor. And she has her show on Tribe Family Channel called Criminalized by Color every other Thursday. So thank you once again for tuning in to Tribe Family Channel. A Book is Born with Beverly Black and my guest, Danny Smith Mathis. Thank you so much, Danny, and we will talk soon. God bless. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Beverly. It's been a great, great show. My honor.
You as well. Thank you so much. Good night, everyone. God bless.
Birthday. Yeah. We want to dedicate this song to everyone who has a birthday today. And that means you, and you, and you, and you. Because having a birthday is a special occasion. And we hope you have a happy celebration and a many, many more to come.
Happy birthday to you.